biggest waiver frenzies always follow a big running back injury, right? Well, what if you could beat your league mates to that frenzy? Keep it from ever happening in the first place. What if you could grab that coveted running back before your competition even realizes they should be coveting him? That's exactly the goal we're chasing in an all-new Draft Sharks podcast right now. Matt Schaaf and Jared Smola of DraftSharks.com here to help you with your Week 11 waiver wire runs. And Jared, let's just jump right into it. Why do I need to get Blake Corum right now?
Yeah, this is admittedly a pretty unexciting week on waivers, I think. But Corum's the top target if he's available. I actually can't believe that he's as widely available as he is. If you look at like Yahoo or Sleeper ownership, he's still like 70% available on both those sites. Now, people listening to this that might be in more competitive leagues where he's not, but if Corum's available, like, you need to roster him right now. If you just look at, so over the last 3 weeks now, Corum has 12, 13, and 13 carries. Kyren Williams over that same span, 12, 25, and 14. So one game, Kyren, you know, blew Corum out of the water in terms of rushing volume. The other two games, though, basically even in terms of carries. And if you look at that Rams game last week, this was a straight rotation by drive. Kyren Williams played the first drive, Blake Corum the second, Kyren, Corum, back and forth the entire game. Actually, until the final drive of the game, Corum was leading Williams in carries 13-10. Kyren got the final four carries of the game and ended up, you know, winning the carry battle 14-13. So Kyren's still the better bet because he's getting that first drive. So that kind of just makes him a better bet to end up leading in snaps and carries. But this is getting close to a 50-50 split in a great offense. The Rams over the last month are fourth in expected fantasy points out of their backfield. So there's a lot of production to go around here. Corum in a lot of weeks is going to be a, you know, viable running back three or flex play. And then, of course, if Kyren Williams goes down, Blake Corum becomes a fantasy RB1.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the offense that makes Blake Corum more of an option right now, makes him somebody that you could stick into a fantasy lineup. And it's the way that they're both being deployed that could make him, you know, worthwhile in any given week. You mentioned that they keep switching drives. So that's going to give us some fluctuating touch totals because, you know, if one guy gets a drive that lasts 13 plays and then the next guy goes for a three and out, it's going to make it look like one running back's playing a lot more. So let's keep that in mind. We'll obviously keep tracking the usage on these two, but they've been doing this, maybe not exactly the drive for drive thing, but something close to this for a while now. So it looks like the way the Rams want to do it, it makes sense from the Rams standpoint. Obviously, we look at the contracts and we're like, why are you paying Kyren Williams so much if you're going to play Blake Corum that much? They like Kyren Williams. They can afford to pay him that much. And by rotating their running backs, they clearly don't feel like they're losing anything on offense while also preserving both players throughout the season and ideally throughout the playoffs for their case. So it doesn't crush Kyren Williams's value. It certainly does hurt it a bit. It makes Blake Corum a potential lineup option in a given week where you need him. But most importantly, he is the top handcuff right now. And I agree with you, Jared. We do this, you know, discussion as we're setting up the waiver article every week. And when you brought him up as a priority this week, I was like, yeah, but how available is he? And I checked Sleeper and I think he was like 17% rostered. I was like, how is that the case? After week 10 of the fantasy season, it definitely should not be anywhere close to that. We'll see if it changes significantly after this week, but this is the kind of thing that, like, if Kyren Williams gets hurt this weekend, Blake Corum's going to be like 100% owned next week. So especially in a week where there is not a whole lot attractive on the wire, go get somebody like this. Even if Corum's not available in your league, there's another running back in a similar spot, quite as strong as the Rams, but in some kind of similar spot that you can stash.
Yeah, exactly. We're at that point of the year where we're what, 75% of the way through bye week. Start cutting that second tight end or that, you know, fifth or sixth wide receiver and stash these running backs, because those are the guys that could actually make a difference for you down the stretch if the guy in front of them gets hurt.
Yeah, Elik Iomanner is not doing anything for you at this point, so go ahead and dump him for a backup running back. And speaking of those backup running backs, like I said, maybe Blake Corum is not available to you, but some other spots might have the running back available. Tyler Allgeier is probably going to be pursued a lot harder than Blake Corum on waivers this week because he just scored a couple of touchdowns. He's still in basically the same position, but he also has one aspect that Corum doesn't have, in that he's getting a whole bunch of the goal line work for the Falcons.
Yeah, Algier has out-carried Bijan Robinson 5-2 inside the five-yard line this season. If you're a Bijan Robinson owner, you probably recognize that because it's been frustrating to see Algier snipe those touchdowns. So Algier, obviously, another guy right there with Corum, where like he'd be a top 12 fantasy running back if Bijan Robinson misses time. And Algier, maybe not to the same extent, but he does have some standalone value as well. If you look at his volume this year, has been super volatile. He has 5 games this season with 10 plus carries. Now he has 4 or fewer in the other 4. So it's kind of been all or nothing. I do like Algier this week though, as a spot start option, if you're in need of that. The Falcons are 3.5-point home favorites against Carolina. That's a good spot for Algier to, you know, potentially get to double digit carries again. The Panthers run defense played well early in the season, has not been nearly as good lately. So Algier, kind of like Corum, some standalone value, elite handcuff, should definitely be rostered in, you know, most fantasy leagues at this point.
Yeah, don't let last week's touchdowns overplay the standalone value for you. And we're in a 2-team bye week, so there shouldn't be really that many situations where he's needed. But if you are in a spot where you just need somebody with some upside, that's definitely Tyler Algier this week and, you know, plenty of weeks going forward. Sean Tucker, one more running back to talk about here. What's the deal with him in Tampa?
Yeah, Tucker has pretty much pulled even with Rashad White in terms of rushing volume the last two games. Last two games for the Bucs, Tucker has 12 and then 9 carries. Rashad White, 13 and 10 carries. So, you know, right there in terms of ball carrying. Now, Rashad White continues to dominate the passing game work. Tucker's a near zero there. So Rashad White's the better option, and that lowers Tucker's floor and ceiling. It is a potentially good spot for Tucker this week, though. He's playing the Bills, one of the biggest run funnels in the NFL, much tougher against the pass than the run. Buffalo's 28th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to running back. So if the Bucs can keep that game close and continue to run the ball, you could see Tucker get another, you know, 10 to 12 carries in this game, maybe with strong efficiency against that Bills run defense. Now, again, the floor is low because if they fall behind, it's going to be mostly Rashad White. Tucker's not going to give you anything in the passing game, but I do think there's some upside for Tucker in this spot. Again, kind of in that territory with Corum and Algier as, like, you know, RB3 spot start options.
I'm honestly surprised that it took this long for Sean Tucker to play this type of role. I was expecting something a little closer to this from the moment Bucky Irving went down. We've all seen enough of Rashad White to know that he's a limited player. You know, he's a helpful player in real and fantasy purposes, but a limited runner. So I'm surprised, especially with how they talked about Sean Tucker in the summer, that we didn't get these types of carries earlier, but at least they're happening now. I agree. I think he's an option this week. This game could go either way, as the Bills showed us the past 2 weeks. One, they pretty easily beat the Chiefs, and then the following week they get beat up by the Dolphins. So this could be a Bills controlled game that limits the rushing for all Bucks. It could be an even match that finds plenty of Bucks running back participation, and I guess we'll see beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. Again, I would, in terms of ceiling, I like Tucker over Algier and Corum this week, but I think his floor is probably the lowest among those three, just because if this game does get out of hand, it's going to be trouble for him.
Bill's dealing with loads of injuries on defense, by the way, including up front. So maybe that helps the Bucs running game. Any other running backs before we move on?
No, I know we have, you know, some Cardinals running backs in the waiver article this week. I'm still not interested there. I know DeMarcado had a nice fantasy game, but that was almost all the 155-yard run late in the fourth quarter of that game. Zonovan Knight was still out carrying DeMarcado pretty easily. He goes down with an ankle injury. We'll see about that. But even after Knight left that game, Michael Carter out carried Amari DeMarcado 3-1. So I wouldn't fall for the DeMarcado trap.
Yeah, I will say that the Michael Carter carries, he got one before they pulled starters, and then his other 3 carries came on the final drive after they pulled everybody. Yeah. And Amari DeMarcado did not touch the ball at that point. So the Cardinals backfield entirely is one of those if you need somebody situations, as opposed to target this guy because there's some upside.
Yes, nearly that entire game was garbage time against Seattle. So, you know, tough to take much away from it at all.
Yes, that game was full of garbage. Over to wide receiver, Jared, who are the top guys that you're looking at this week? We had some standout performances versus what they had done before, but I think it takes some sorting to figure out what's meaningful.
Yeah, I have 4 guys here, and I guess the first 2 would be more like week 11 spot start options. The first one's Tez Johnson, who we've talked about quite a bit on this show for the past month now. It feels like he's still available in 67% of Yahoo leagues, though. Scored the 2 touchdowns last week, gets him 4 touchdowns over his last 4 games. It definitely feels a bit flimsy, like he's not going to continue that scoring pace, obviously. But he's averaging 5.8 targets over those 4 games. He's basically a full-time player in this Bucs offense. And again, like, I think the Bucs are going to want to come out and run the ball in this game against the Bills, but there's a chance they fall behind and have to throw. And I think Tez Johnson would, you know, benefit if that's the case. The other spot start option this week, I think Calvin Austin is in play just because of this matchup against the Bengals. Calvin Austin has 6, 6, and 7 targets over his last three games. That's 19 total targets. DK Metcalf has 18 total targets over those three games. I'm not saying Calvin Austin's the number one receiver here now, but he's playing a pretty big role in this Steelers passing game. And he plays the Bengals this week. Like, anyone in that Steelers offense has an elevated ceiling in this matchup.
And also, why did they spend so much on DK Metcalf if they're not going to target him significantly more than Calvin Austin?
Arthur Smith.
Tez Johnson, by the way, he's basically Trey Tucker for a team with a much better quarterback. And I mentioned those Bills injuries, a lot of them in the secondary. Taylor Rapp is on IR currently. Their top corner, Christian Benford, is iffy at this point, missed last week's game. They also missed slot corner Taron Johnson. So we'll see who's available for that Bills secondary, but that's certainly going to affect the matchup. As long as you go into Tez Johnson knowing he's a boom bust guy, he's certainly an intriguing player if you're in need of wide receiver help. So beyond those one-week help types, what do you got?
Yeah, I think it's time to stash these rookie wide receivers, Jaden Higgins and Luther Burden. So Higgins, 53% of the routes last week, you know, still not a number we can use him in fantasy lineups, but that was his highest route rate in a game this season that Christian Kirk played. Kirk, meanwhile, last week, season low 49% route rate. Xavier Hutchinson, who for whatever reason has kind of been keeping Higgins from being a full-time player, he also set a season low last week at 55% of the routes. So Higgins seems to be trending up here. He caught a key touchdown for Houston in the fourth quarter in that big comeback win against Jacksonville. D'Amico Ryans was talking him up afterward, partly saying that, quote, we just got to find a way to continue to get Higgins the ball. So it's taken a long time. I think that Higgins is going to be the clear number two wide receiver in Houston the rest of the way. That makes him worth stashing. And then Luther Burden.
Wait, Jared. I think I just got struck by a little PTSD because when you said that the coach is talking about getting Jaden Higgins the ball, it just flashed me back to Sean Payton talking about Marvin Mims.
Yeah, listen.
But now we can move on. Listen,
Higgins is better than Marvin Mims, and this isn't Sean Payton. So that's still Houston's passing game. So like, I'm not going overboard with Jaden Higgins, but he could be useful down the stretch. We know this is our thing. You know, we know these rookie wide receivers tend to be more productive over the second half of their debut seasons than the first. So Luther Burden's the other guy. A season high 49% route rate for Luther Burden. Now DJ Moore missed some time with a shoulder injury in that game, which I think was part of the reason Burden played a bit more. But DJ Moore has a shoulder injury, so you know we'll kind of see how that plays out through the rest of the week. And then, man, whether I'm looking at the numbers or just watching Bears games, Luther Burden just looks awesome every time he gets a chance. In this game, he caught all three of his targets for 51 yards. That was the third most yards on the team, behind only Colson Loveland and Rome Odunze, despite, you know, just running her out on half of the pass plays. Burden easily leads the Bears in yards per out run. He just, I think the next step for this Bears offense is to get Luther Burden more involved. So he's another guy, not a week 11 starting option, but worth stashing as someone who could be helpful down the stretch.
Yeah, I like stashing both of those, especially Jaden Higgins, just because he's needed more in his offense. Still, he had a good fantasy outing against Jacksonville. His 42 yards in that game were a season high, which is certainly worth noting in setting up what your expectation should be. So we've seen 7+ targets for Higgins in 2 of the past 3 games, touchdowns in each of those 2 games where he got that many targets, but still limited production for the season. Of course, that's what we're used to with rookie wide receivers and why we're especially interested. Obviously, they like Jaden Higgins, not only with D'Amico Ryans' words, but they drafted him in round 2. They need that help in the receiving core. And historically, we see rookie wide receivers ramp up as the season goes on. So that's why we want to stash Jaden Higgins right now, and Luther Burden, to me, to a lesser degree, just because there's less room for him to get on the field. But both guys worth stashing on rosters right now. A couple of veterans who put up interesting fantasy numbers this past week. Mac Hollins for the Patriots, Michael Wilson to the Cardinals. Michael Wilson didn't do that much, and I don't think he's done enough that he's going to be of that much interest to most people. So I want to focus on Mac Hollins because he has now given us strong receiving lines in 2 of the past 3 games. 7 catches for 89 yards against the Browns, and then this past week it was 6 for 106 on 10 targets against the Buccaneers. Now, Jared, I don't want to posit Mac Hollins as a specifically strong addition. I think just historically, not just the rest of this season, but his career in general shows us that he's not somebody who's about to turn into a weekly, dependable fantasy wideout. To me, his story is more about a profile that can be replicated in certain spots. And with Mac Hollins, we're talking about a solid receiver who is always on a team, is always involved in the offense to some degree, getting good playing time. He has been doing that versus other Patriots wide receivers to this point. In a good offense with a well-performing quarterback and in a friendly matchup, which was last week against the Bucs. So more so than depending on Mac Hollins, I want to use that example to make me look for that type of player if I'm reaching for like a wide receiver four type or a wide receiver three fill in, depending on my specific situation, looking for those types of guys, even if they haven't given me the production to this point, as just some upside that has a chance to help me that week.
Yeah, I think invest in good offenses. That'd be my takeaway here, which sounds simple, but I think we can overlook that a lot of times when we're playing fantasy football. Hollins was the biggest beneficiary of Kayshon Boutte missing last week's game. He ran more routes than Kyle Williams, ran easily more routes than DeMario Douglas. And the Patriots play on Thursday night this week, so short week. I don't know if Booty's going to be back. I think if there's a spot where the Patriots are going to limit Stephon Diggs' playing time, it would be on a short week against the Jets. They're like, 12-point favorites in this game. If you're looking for a spot start option, I do think Mac Hollins makes some sense this week, assuming Kayshon Boutte remains out again. I think once Boutte gets back, that Hollins is pretty much going to fall back off the radar.
Yeah, I would imagine so, until we forget about him, and then he's going to have a big game again. But that's what Mac Hollins has been doing since forever, so... Spot starting options are something we commonly look for at quarterback, but Jared, I think if you consider Jacoby Brissett a spot starter at this point, you might be underselling at least what he has showed us over the past four games with the Cardinals. Since taking over for the injured Kyler Murray, he's gone QB7 at the Colts, QB11 versus the Packers, QB10 at Dallas, QB9 at Seattle. Of course, most of that stuff against Seattle came in garbage time, but we'll take the production wherever it comes, and especially when it's the fourth of four straight QB1 weeks. So Joe Flacco is getting plenty of coverage as a fantasy option. I think Jacoby Brissett belongs right there with him for what he's done so far.
I do too in the short term. I could still see the bottom falling out on this sometime over this these next three games before Kyler Murray potentially comes back. Just because, like you said, I'm not treating last week as a positive for Brissett. It's nice that he put up the fantasy numbers, but it was a dreadful opening quarter that put them behind by 28 or whatever it was. And then he produced again, basically in all garbage time. But like you said, four straight top 12 finishes. More importantly for me, for a few things, I guess. One, the Cardinals are kind of sneakily one of the pass heaviest offenses in the NFL. They're near the top of the league in pass rate, neutral pass rate over expected. I think a lot of that has to do with the running game, just not doing anything, with all the injuries they've dealt with there. That's good for Brissett. He's running. He's averaging 4.5 carries and 20 rushing yards per game over the last four. That's very helpful in fantasy. And then most importantly for me is this matchup this week against the 49ers defense, which is just incredibly banged up. They're now down to 24th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They're actually 28th against quarterbacks over the last 5 weeks now. So it's a really good matchup for Jacoby Brissett. Again, I still worry that one of these games, it even happened last week where this offense just, doesn't fire. So I still have some concerns there longer term, but I think for this week, Brissett's a pretty safe quarterback one spot starter.
I mean, we should always keep that possibility in mind, but we're coming off a Monday night game where Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love both gave us crappy fantasy lines. So, I mean, it's really possible for just about any quarterback. And the other things working for Jacoby Brissett related to what you just said, since week six, again, that's the first time he stepped in for Kyler Murray. He's second in the league in pass attempts per game behind only Joe Flacco, second in passing yards per game, tied for seventh in touchdown passes per game, has thrown two touchdown passes in each of those four starts, 11th among quarterbacks in rushing yards per game. And beyond this 49ers matchup, they've got the Jaguars and the Bucs in those three more weeks that are at least how much longer Kyler Murray is going to be out. So those are three certainly winnable matchups for the quarterback. We just saw Davis Mills go nuts on the Jaguars this past week. The Bucs have been a pass funnel defense. So Jacoby Brissett is going to matter more over the next 3 weeks than anybody wants him to.
What a game we play.
Oh yeah. Streaming defense for week 11, Jared, what are we looking for here?
Yeah, so I got two, and I'd call the Bears the ceiling play. Now, I wouldn't consider the Bears a floor play because they're just not a good defense. You look at the Bengals game 2 weeks ago, even look last week, like they probably would have lost that game against the Giants had Jackson Dart not been concussed. But there is upside to the Bears. They've shown that at times this season as well. This defense has a lot of takeaways so far this season, and they're 3-point favorites against Minnesota. JJ McCarthy has been a very giving quarterback to opposing defenses so far. He's averaging 3.8 sacks and 1.3 interceptions per game this season. So upside to the Bears. And if you want a floor play, I would look to the Falcons. This Panthers offense just is not going to score points. They've been under 17 points in four straight games now. They're implied for 19.5 this week. It's one of the lowest in the league. So I think Atlanta is a safe bet to give you a nice fantasy outing.
I think that you're even underselling the Falcons a little bit because their pass rush has picked up significantly lately. So I think that gives them more of that ceiling potential, especially against an awful Carolina offense. Carolina, 15 turnovers for the season, six turnovers in just the past three games, and not a whole lot of downside risk in the number 28 scoring offense. I like Atlanta even more because not only can we stream them this week against Carolina, but then they're at New Orleans in week 12. They're at the Jets in week 13. So I can not only get a good streaming option for this week, I can get a streamer for the next 3 weeks. And that's going to allow me to focus my waiver attention on other positions over the next couple weeks, I think.
Love that. Love getting a streaming day you can play multiple weeks. And Atlanta's still a good defense. They're not as dominant as they looked over the first month of the season, but still a good defense. I think they'll capitalize on those matchups. Elsewhere for week 12, I think, so the Browns are hosting the Raiders in week 12. I think either side of that game is in play.
I think that's at Vegas, isn't it?
Maybe I wrote it down wrong. Either way, I think either side of that game is in play. Now, the Browns are currently like 75% owned, but they're playing the Ravens this week, so I think they're going to get dropped in a lot of leagues. So keep an eye on that. If they get dropped, I think they're a good ad for that game against the Raiders. I would definitely prefer the Raiders defense side of that game. But Vegas is in play, too, just because, you know, the Raiders are basically like Carolina, where they're just not going to score a lot of points. So there's a pretty nice floor there. And speaking of Carolina, they get the Niners in week 12. Again, not a great defense, but I think the matchup's going to make the Niners a viable week 12 spot start.
Yeah, just to confirm, the Raiders are hosting the Browns. I like them if I don't have the Falcons for week 12. Any team against the Browns offense at this point is a good option, even if you don't get a kick return and a punt return touchdown in the same game. And the Raiders at least have enough talented players on defense to try to leverage that matchup. By the way, just getting further into that Browns matchup, they are the best scoring matchup for defenses by a wide margin by our adjusted fantasy points allowed, adding 98% to opponent DST scores to this point, according to our adjusted fantasy points allowed formula. So if you want to check our strength of schedule pages, you can find those kinds of numbers and matchup tips for any position, defense or otherwise, including IDPs. You can also find our weekly streaming defense article on DraftSharks.com now. And of course, you can find our weekly articles covering offensive waiver targets as well as IDPs. Links to each of those in the show notes for this episode below. And if you're wondering who to drop, head to your free agent finder because it can give you specific recommendations on that front, tailored to your format, tailored to your specific roster. With the fantasy playoffs fast approaching, we want Draft Sharks to be your unfair advantage.